Welcome to the University of Michigan Press Podcast, a monthly show featuring interviews with University of Michigan Press authors. Isidore's Secret, Sin, Murder, and Confession in a Northern Michigan Town is a gripping account of the mysterious disappearance of a young nun in a Northern Michigan town and the national controversy that followed when she turned up dead and buried in the basement of the church. Marty Link, a former crime reporter and author of When Evil Came to Goodheart, discusses her latest true crime book. Hello, Marty.
Hi.
So how did you discover the story for Isidore's Secret?
Well, I live in northern Michigan, and I've been up here for the last two decades, and so I'm pretty familiar with my area and my neighborhood's local legend. And the mystery of what happened to Sister Yanina is just one of these, but one that I really wanted to dig in more deeply to, and I wanted to separate truth from fiction and truth from the legend. There is a play based on the case that was produced in the 70s on Broadway and even turned into a movie, but I still wanted to separate what was true about her story from what was invented. I was intrigued by what life must have been like in Leelanau County in 1907 for a Felician nun. And I wanted to learn more about her life, about why she was killed, who the guilty party was. And I really wondered what could possibly drive someone to kill a naive young Felician nun more than a century ago.
Okay, so what did you discover when you began to research the killing?
Well, where the convent is, where she was a teacher, is in a little town called Isidore, and it's a tiny four corners in the center of Leelanau County, about 20 miles from where I live. All that's there now is a few farmhouses, a school that's closed, a convent that's closed, and then this majestic brick Gothic Catholic church that just rises up right at those four corners, and it's visible for miles. They still celebrate weekly mass there. Sometimes in this little four corners, there's as many as 200 or 300 people that worship there. Descendants of the same families live there now that lived there when Sister Yanina taught at the school and disappeared. And what I found was that even though more than 100 years have gone by, very little socially has changed in the way that people interact, the physical look of the place, but also in the attitudes of the people who live there. I went through the town and I knocked on doors, and most people wouldn't talk to me at all about the crime, even though this is their own history. They still simply refer to the case as, quote, the tragedy. It's almost as if it happened last year and not last century. But, of course, luckily for writers like me, we document things like court cases and history, so I was able to find lots of newspaper accounts of the case, hearing and trial transcripts, psychiatric reports, inner church correspondence, some of it actually in Polish that I had to have translated, and even unpublished manuscripts all relating to this case. So during my research, I learned that there was a Michigan native, a college professor. His name was Edward Adam Skenzel. He's my hero at this point because he documented this case, and when he died, his brother donated all of his research to the archives of the University of Notre Dame. So I found out about the collection on Google, but when I called the archivist, I said, hey, I live in northern Michigan. I'm working on a true crime case about a nun who died in Isidore. Is it worth my while to come down and access the collection? And she put me on hold, and she said, well, let me check. When she came back on the phone, she said, you know, you may not know this, but librarians like me measure collections by how long they are if we put them on the floor and measured them with a tape measure. And she was right. I didn't know that. And I said, well, how long is this collection? And she deadpanned and said, 58 feet. So I told her I would be there the next day, and I did. I spent 3 days down there.
So what would you say was the most dramatic moment when putting the book together?
Well, I would say that definitely happened down there at Notre Dame. For those 3 days, I would get there right at 8 o'clock when they opened. I wouldn't even leave for lunch. I would stay until 4 when they closed. And I would sit at their long wood tables and in that very quiet room. They've got great lighting. These vintage ceiling fans are whirring around, and you're surrounded by the smell of old paper, and you know that you're sitting in the midst of history. You can't bring anything in into the room except for a pad of paper. They make you wear cotton gloves, and they even provide you with their pencils. They are very, they're very protective of their documents. But I was looking for anything that I could find there about Sister Yanina and about how the Catholic Church responded to her murder, and of course the reason that she was killed. And part of the local legend was that she was pregnant and that was the reason for her murder. And after so much time had gone by, I didn't think that there would be any scientific way to either prove or disprove whether or not she was pregnant. But I, in the back of my mind, I was hoping that I could find something. And so I had started to access the collection, and I pulled out a piece of paper, and it said on that piece of paper something in the priest's hands that made me know that rumor was true. So for me, that was a pretty dramatic moment. And I think that finding that piece of paper really made me feel closer to Sister Yanina. And at that moment, she became not just a historical person, but a real person, and not just a nun, but someone who also was a real woman with real feelings.
So who really killed Sister Yanina?
I think that the church and the court got it right all those years ago. At the time, the household was Sister Yanina, a couple other nuns, the priest, and the priest's housekeeper, a woman by the name of Stella. She was the one that was prosecuted and went to prison for killing Sister Yanina. And the theory was that she did it in a fit of religious fervor, and I think that's probably correct. My own feeling after spending so much time researching their lives is that Father Andrew fell in love with Sister Yanina. Even though some people in Isidore today are convinced that he killed her, he was an avid outdoorsman, and he was fishing for the entire day that she disappeared with at least two other witnesses. And so there isn't any way that he could have been, he wasn't even around on the day that she was killed. Plus, he looked for her in the woods around Isidore months and months after everyone else had given up. His health even suffered because of it. And I think that there's evidence that Stella would run down Sister Yanina's character to whoever would listen. Plenty of witnesses at the trial discussed how much Stella hated the nun. So I think that the church and the court did get it right all those years ago, although her confession and her trial would have been far different today. And I don't think that the torture that she eventually suffered in jail would have been allowed in court.
So you're the author of another fascinating true crime book, When Evil Came to Goodheart. How was writing Isidore Secret different from that?
Well, when I started researching the Goodheart murders, 40 years had passed, which seemed like a long time. But the murder in Isidore's Secret was 60 years older than that. And so the passage of time was one thing that made the research very different. But in both books, I tried to put myself in that time period to better understand the people I was writing about and also the investigative techniques. Neither Goodheart or Isidore initially welcomed me into their community. You know, when I came walking in, nobody was really that thrilled to see me. But after I got to know people in Goodheart, they really opened up to me, and eventually many of them even became my friends. Some of the surviving family members of the Robisons, which was the family killed in Goodheart, still correspond with me, and we've become friends. But that's definitely not the case in Isidore. I had doors closed after months of researching, and I even attended Mass at Holy Rosary, and all I found were four people that would talk to me, and most of them were in their 30s and 40s. There's one gentleman in his 80s. He's an Isidore native. He did talk with me, and he is a native speaker of Polish, so he was my translator for many of the Polish documents that I found. But he said that the only reason he felt comfortable speaking with me was because he'd moved away from Isidore 10 miles to Traverse City. And I've since heard that the book is quite controversial in that little town. But, you know, I think that because way back when the Catholic Church was complicit in covering up a murder, and people there are ashamed of this part of their community's history. But Isidore's Secret's also not just about a murder, but it's about how the parish managed to build this beautiful church in spite of what happened, church that's still active today, and about how the original Isidore settlers have maintained this parish and their lifestyle, even though this was a scandal and secret so many years ago. My own feeling is that Sister Yanina's fate is a fascinating piece of all of Michigan's history, not just this one little town. And I think it needs to be read and experienced and not just stuffed in some archive box somewhere.
Is it true that there is talk of a boycott of the book?
It is. That is true. It was kind of surprising to me, even though I didn't get a lot of cooperation when I was researching. I didn't think it would go this far. But there is a woman who attends Holy Rosary Church and who is in possession of lots of genealogical resources about the town. And I interviewed her early on, and she was adamantly opposed to the writing of the book. And about 2 weeks ago, she contacted me and said that there was a 500-plus person boycott of Isidore's Secret. And this information came to me a month before the book is even published. So it was kind of surprising. But I think that this is a story that doesn't belong just to one small town. It's a story that belongs to all of us. It's part of our history. And so I hope that they'll change their minds and read about their own history.
Absolutely. Let's hope for that. Well, Marty Link, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us.
Thank you.
We have been speaking with Marty Link, author of Isidore's Secret, Sin, Murder, and Confession in a Northern Michigan Town. To learn more about our books, please visit us on the web at press.umich.edu. This podcast has been brought to you by the University of Michigan Press, copyright 2008, all rights reserved.